Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all true.
It is.
Monty Poole's going to join us in 3 minutes.
Monty Poole.
He needs a moment.
Okay.
Steiny did that to us today. I was driving around, and obviously Evan Giddings is their technical director and part of the production staff when he's not filling in. And so he's in there as the third voice on the show. And Steiny is like, coming up tonight, Warriors Live. With Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings.
I heard it.
At 5:30. And Evan's like, it'll be Willard and Dibs, 5:30. So they'll do Warriors Live.
Yeah.
And he goes, Willard and Dibs. That was the first time.
John Sally.
Like, thank you. I was like, oh, that's the first time I've heard him do it to us. So I felt honored.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It was funny because I was listening, just getting ready to get out of the car and get on BART. And I heard it and I was like thinking, I should probably text him, but Evan right away, and you can hear it almost in Steiny's ear. Willard and Dibs.
Willard.
Yeah. Shut up!
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that got real.
Yeah.
In a hurry.
Happened twice, too.
Yeah.
He ran that sucker back right away.
Shut up!
Thank you, Stagu. Appreciate it. All right. Monty Poole's going to join us in a sec. And I'll already, spoiler alert, first question is going to be about Brandon Pajemski. Downgraded to questionable because of an illness.
Jaminski.
This is a problem if Jaminski misses this game. I think it's a problem. Not that the Warriors can't function without him by any stretch. Yeah, this is like when you're on the road.
Pajowski.
And you're going to be taking desperation from the Rockets. The Rockets, everybody knows the Rockets have got to have this game. And so, good defensive club. I think they're going to throw every piece of physicality they can in the world at Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, and I do feel like for the Warriors to win this game, they're going to have to get some solid production from somebody else. So, I mean, not great. I'm not saying someone needs to score 20, but someone else is going to have to be a piece of this puzzle, and he's obviously the first name that you look to. So I don't know. It's and we'll see. But the fact that it's a late downgrade feels kind of tenuous to me.
It does, and this is one of the more underrated parts about travel, I think, especially when you deal with a baseball team where one person gets sick, and if they have a flu, and I'm not sure that's what Pods has, but when you do have something like a bug, it'll go through a baseball team pretty quickly and pretty thoroughly because you're together in a room all the time and you fly together all the time. And so in the NBA, a lot of these cases where you get somebody who's got a bug or some illness, and it's not only detrimental to the individual, but that thing could slowly spread throughout the whole team.
No doubt. And Anthony Slater, just about 15, 20 minutes ago, said that, yes, Pajemski remains questionable tonight. Said he was spotted at morning shoot-around. Good sign. ... sitting off to the side. Not good sign.
Right.
Not good sign. So anyway, stay tuned right here to 95.7 The Game as we get closer and closer to tip-off, which is a little bit less than 2.5 hours away. And as soon as this news comes down, we will pass it along, and we'll be talking to Monty Poole here
momentarily. And unlike an injury that maybe you can inject with some pain meds,
right?
If you're sick, there's not much you can do. Like if you
can go score 30. That's what Michael Jordan would do.
Right, right. The flu game.
Flu game.
The famous flu game. So
yeah.
It depends on what the illness is, and you know what part of you is not feeling well, because there are certain ailments that you can't really run and jump and play through, if you get my drift.
Absolutely. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line and bring in our friend from NBC Sports Bay Area, Monty Poole, all over the Warrior beat. Hey, Monty, what's going on tonight?
Game two, baby. Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. Is Brandon Pajemski going to play in it?
My guess is yes, but, you know, it could be one of those situations where they hold him out. I mean, honestly, if he's good to go, fine. If he's not good to go, I think they're deep enough to be able to cover for him.
That's an interesting statement. What, like, how do you think they would cover for him?
Well, Moses has been taking the point of attack defense guy, so he's been defending Jalen Green, which is the biggest threat, I think, on Houston's perimeter. So you look at that, and I think what you get defensively from Gary and from Moses, that's a pretty good defensive duo. They can do things defensively that Brandon can't do. Now, on the other hand, you would like to see a little offense from whoever is out there with Steph. And that's the thing you got to look for.
And I know that they don't play the same position, but the inevitable question comes up about Jonathan Kuminga. Does this get a little bit of a run? I hate to do it, Monty, but the fans need to know, does this clear any sort of runway for JK to actually get some meaningful minutes?
Well, okay. Let's start at the beginning. Steve Kerr is a huge fan of spacing, okay? We understand why, because it's worked for him for many, many years. And he's also a huge fan of Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green playing together pretty frequently. If those are on the court together, where do you put Kuminga? Where do you put him offensively? And that's the issue. The only way that works for Jonathan is if he comes in and plays on the perimeter, and that's a little bit different. Can he be the point of attack defender? He's okay at that. He can do a pretty good job if you say, Jonathan, take this guy. But in terms of coordinating what has to happen on both ends of the floor for this team to be good, that's a little bit tougher task for him. So I'm not going to rule him out simply because he does have something to offer. Against a team that's athletic and all over the offensive glass, all over the defensive glass, if you tell JK to go out there and we need you to really rebound, he can do that. He's done it before. So I'm not going to rule him out, even though I know that Steve Kerr is not going to – I can't see him playing J.K. with Draymond and Jimmy at the same time. You don't have any spacing there. Because Jimmy's on the block a lot. That's where he lives. And where's J.K. going to be? If he's going to be on the perimeter, they won't guard him. They won't guard him from shooting from three. So he has to be a threat, and right now he's not a threat from three.
I think that is a fair and informative answer. I would also like to say, Monty, that the double laugh that you gave while Dibs was asking it, I felt that. I really felt that.
Because it's a hot topic, and, you know, he's not playing, and he's his contract is up. He's going to be a restricted free agent. And so if I say, well, what's going to happen with Kuminga? I don't think we'll know what's going to happen with JK until summer hits.
Yep.
But right now, obviously, he's out of the rotation. And if they keep winning, he's going to stay out of the rotation. If there comes a point in time where they think they need him and can use him, he's back in the rotation. Steve Kerr's done this before. You go back to over Steve's career as a head coach, there have been some series. If you go back, you'll see some postseasons where he used four or five different starting lineups. Rotations can change based on matchups. So I'm not going to say JK is glued to the bench. But I'm going to say, guys out of the rotation. He won't get in it unless there's a place for him. And as long as Jimmy is playing 40 minutes and Draymond is doing what he does, there's not much room for him.
Yeah, that's fair. Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Monty, what do you think Houston's big adjustment is? Like, what do the Warriors really need to be ready for tonight?
You know, I think Houston will look at the video from last game and say, how did we miss so many shots? That's open looks they didn't make. They had so many rebounds on the offensive glass, 22 offensive rebounds, and they didn't turn them into a lot of points. Usually, if you get 22 offensive rebounds, you convert those into points on the second and third chances. And they didn't get much out of that. They had 22 points out of that. The Warriors, by contrast, had 6 offensive rebounds and turned them into 12 points. So 1-1 is not a good ratio for offense rebounding conversion into buckets. I think that's the first thing you got to do is keep powering the glass and make some shots. And as far as defending Steph, I think they'll go back to more top locking. They didn't do as much of it in game one as they did in the previous game when they played them at Chase Center back on April 6th, I think it was. So I look back now and I go, they will probably be more aggressive, more muscular, more rugged, more physical. And those are the two things they can do because they are not built to be a really good, strong offense in the half court. They're just not. They haven't done it all season. That's not their game. And the Warriors know that. And so, obviously, the Warriors want to take care of the ball and make sure they can keep in the half court as often as possible.
Yeah, and even in game one, when they did try to take Steph away, he found his way into 5 straight layups or mid-range shots after he missed his opening 3 3-point shots. So they're going to have to find different ways to do it. What do you think about the Rockets and their 2-big lineup? Because we saw them go to Adams and Şengün together with some success. I know they didn't get a lot of second-chance points out of it, but would you think that maybe they go to Steven Adams even more to try to just dominate the glass like they did in game one?
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, when you win the offensive, when you win the rebounding battle by, what was it, that 17 or 18, whatever, they were plus gigantic on rebounding.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, I don't think you look back and say, we need to rebound better. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is, no, we need to score better. And Steve Adams is going to get you rebounds, but he ain't going to score. Şengün can score. And so I look at what they can do, and I just don't see a lot of options aside from being more physical and being more intentional with their physicality. And by that I'm saying it could get chippy. It could get chippy. I wouldn't doubt that because they're going to be desperate. They don't want to go down 0-2 at home because they know if they do, it's over.
Monty, do you think there's a certain kind of officiating that favors or does not favor the Warriors?
That's a tough question because I think the Warriors don't mind if the game is physical. I know Jimmy doesn't mind it at all. Draymond doesn't mind it at all. Loon doesn't mind it at all. Steph is used to it. They just want to see the calls go the same both ways. That's all they care about. And that's all anything any team really cares about. I don't think they fear the whistle. They look at the refs and go, oh, my God, we're in trouble because this guy's refereeing the game tonight. I don't think they're one of those teams. But in terms of the type of officiating, I think they want to go with let them play. Let them play. Now, if it gets out of control, if you know, they start, like, in the game, the last time they played the Rockets in the regular season, Amen Thompson was literally hugging Steph.
Right.
He had his arms around him. And I don't think they want to go unpunished. So we'll see. I think it's going to be juicy to see how they defend Steph because, you know, I think Dibbs mentioned this sort of, he is so good. Between Steph's self-diagnosis and Steve's ability to devise ways to get Steph open, they're so good at coming back. Once you get Steph, once you have a Steph stopper, it's a one-game thing. That's his history. Nobody stops Steph year in, year out. It hasn't happened. And so I just don't – I mean, you saw it in game one. You know, the Amen Thompson, Steph stopper. Game one, not so much. He finds ways. And between Steph and Steve, I think they'll find ways. And I guess, again, as long as the officials are calling with the hugs and the clutching and the grabbing and the holding, I think they're fine.
Yeah, and if you look at the two wins from Houston this year, they are the two lowest foul-called games among the six that the Rockets and the Warriors played, including that 91-90 win in the NBA Cup where Steph Curry shot just one free throw in a game where he was again hugged and caressed and clutched. Monty, what did you make of the game one defensive approach from the Warriors? It felt almost like a college team where you're going zone, you're going man, and you're really just mixing it up a ton.
I love it. I love it. They know that the Rockets are not accustomed to the postseason, first of all. And they got a lot of young guys that they're depending on to be productive. Throw them different looks. Throw different looks at them. Give them different looks. You know, don't let them get predictable. I think that's a great way to go about this because give them the same look. Even the young guys will figure it out. So throw some zone at them. You know, mix it up. Change your zones. If you want to go 2-3 or 3-2 and, you know, 1-3-1, whatever. Throw different looks at them. And that's something that Steve does traditionally in man-to-man. You know, the biggest threat will not see one defender the whole game. You'll see a variety of defenders. That's been the history. Whether it's LeBron, James Harden, you know, Kyrie, whoever is out there that they see as a real threat, that person's going to see not one, maybe not two, probably three different defenders. Now, you can do that when you have, you know, Iguodala and Wiggins and before Wiggins, Livingston, and you could do that, those switchable guys. It's hard to do now, but I wouldn't put it past him to try that, to get different looks, because he's done it again this year.
Monty, do you sort of buy into the traditional thought that a lot of us have, which is the Rockets absolutely have to have this one tonight, and if they don't, it's a short series?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they know that too. And I do expect to see moments when it's clear they are desperate, because they know that, yeah, if you go down 0-2, you're not going to win four out of the next five against this team. And so this, they like to use the phrase must win. You know, it's not a must win until you're on the brink of elimination. But for the Rockets, they have to look at it that way, as a must win, because if they don't win this game, I don't see a way out for them to win this series.
Monty, it's so great to have you on a game night. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game.
We're going to do that. There he is. Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. He's the best. He's been doing it forever. And he says he thinks Brandon Podziemski is going to play. He thinks so?
Right.
Okay.
I mean, you never know until you get out there and you run around, and depending on what the illness is, and for those of you just joining us, he's been downgraded to questionable with an illness. So don't know if it's a headache or fever, bubble guts, or whatever it is. There are different things you can play through more than others. Hopefully he's able to go out there and give it a go. And, you know, I didn't mean to hit Monty with the cliched JK question, but his answer was profound and astute. So even if you don't have, you know, Podziemski, does that mean more Kuminga? Well, not necessarily. And he laid out all the reasons that Steve Kerr's laid out before. So it probably would mean a lot more GP2, a guy who can get in there and hopefully provide some three-point shooting, because the one thing you would need without Pods is some defense, which he brings, and some shooting.
Yeah, I hate to say this for people who are big fans of Jonathan Kuminga and want to see him in the game, but you know what you're actually rooting for is probably a double-digit deficit. Probably what you're rooting for.
For Kuminga to be out there and to get a shot in the game. Yeah,
like you need to. The Warriors would need to be in a spot where they're like, okay, let's kind of change what we're doing for a second. That's what it would take. And why would they do that if they weren't down by 10 or more? I don't know why they would do that. They have been, as I pointed out, since February, the 2 seed. The 2 seed in the Western Conference since Jimmy Butler arrived. And a lot of that, not all of it, but such a healthy portion of that, happened without Jonathan Kuminga. And also, as Monty just pointed out, what they found is something that has been working. And it is based on, as we get to the playoffs, your best players being on the floor at the same time for the majority of the game. And he has detailed very clearly that when Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green are both on the floor, there's just nowhere to put Jonathan right now. So you would need one of those guys to spend more time on the bench for whatever reason, or you would need a deficit of some sort that is significant to make the Warriors go, you know what, we need a jolt, let's try something different. That's where you might see him, at least in the short term.
Let's pretend that Pajemski doesn't play. We don't know that, but let's pretend. Who do you guys think starts in Pajemski's spot?
I would guess it would be GP2.
GP2 is the first name that comes to mind.
My thought is Buddy Hield, but I could be wrong.
You might be right.
I think Kerr is going to want the shooting. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
And GP2 did not have a great game one. But.
Not shooting the ball, he did not.
No.
But I
just think that
there's a huge defensive gap in what your answer is there. But then again, Brandon Pajemski is the guy you're placing is not the greatest defender.
He's not, but he's better than Buddy.
Sure.
He'll stick the nose in there and take a charge. And I'm thinking about game one where he has a terrible turnover, runs down to the other end and takes a charge. It's like, okay, Brandon, we forgive you because you gave one up and then you got one back right away. And I don't know about the trust factor in Buddy Hield in that spot. I think Buddy's a guy who you like where he is, which is, all right, Buddy, come off the bench and we're going to get you two or three looks. And if you can knock down one or two of those two or three, then you've earned minutes again. If you come out and you don't hit your shot and you make a couple of boneheaded plays, then that's going to be a no from us, dog.
I think you just said it. The possibility of the boneheaded play is what I think, especially in the first quarter of this game, you need to avoid. Think about what the Warriors have said they can't do in this series and what all the reporters have said and what Houston is hoping to do. You're going to come out with desperation in the first quarter and Houston wants to run. All right. What causes them to run? Well, if the Warriors turn the ball over, well, who's more likely to turn the ball over? Buddy Hield or Gary Payton II? There's no question.
Right.
Also, if Houston's hitting more shots and starts gaining confidence and going downhill, who's going to do a better job of getting one-on-one with someone and defending them and making life really tough on them making shots? That's obviously Gary Payton II. Now, you and I could be completely wrong, but I'm with you on the thought process of what happens if Pods is out.
Yeah, I think you go to Gary and, you know, you probably don't expand your rotation, and you make an interesting point about Warriors down 10. If you look at the entire year of the six games that they've played against Houston, the Warriors have led 67% of the time. There haven't been a lot of stretches in these six matchups where Houston's been in front, and even in game one, yeah, I was looking at the numbers. Houston led for 13 minutes and 43 seconds. So a minute 43 into the second quarter, the Warriors got the lead. There was a little tiny bit of back and forth. Then the Warriors got the lead, and they didn't relinquish.
Right.
So it hasn't been, there have not been a lot of minutes all year where the Warriors have not been in front.
Well, and this is why I blow off the two actual wins that the Warriors had against the Rockets in the first half of the season. Both of them housed big comebacks from the Rockets that fell just short. Well, what do the Warriors do now when another team is on a run that they could not do in the first half of the season? We all know the answer. When they have the ball on offense, they're like, here, Jimmy, slow us down, calm us down, make a good decision, maybe get to the free throw line, put a couple of them in, and change the momentum of this game. The Warriors couldn't do that early on. So when we talk about, well, the Rockets have made these runs at the Warriors, right, all before Jimmy Butler. Doesn't mean they're not allowed to do it now. Doesn't mean that Butler is always on the floor, but he's usually on the floor, and I find that idea to be much less likely. You saw the Rockets put a run together against the Warriors in game one, but it fell short. It fell short, and I don't think it was that significant of a comeback. I just don't, because the 20-point leads, you and I have had this conversation, I just don't think they're that big of a deal anymore. Not with the way people shoot 3-point baskets. I remain still really, really confident in this. We'll lay this out, and Warriors Live is in an hour, and now we're wide open for you. It's nothing but you for an hour until Warriors Live hits. So we would love to take your phone calls right now. 888-957-9570. The poll question is, are Warriors fans overconfident? You can definitely weigh in on that. And you can also weigh in on the premise that we launched at the start of the show. Are the Warriors actually the 2 seed in the Western Conference? And if you don't know what I mean by that, we'll lay it out for you coming up next. But your calls right now, 888 888- 957-9570. That is the number Warrior postseason coverage. It is brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament Monday, April 28th. Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by Otco Pest Control. Stein and Goo are going to be there. Go see them. If you'd like to attend, go to 957thegame.com. Click on the events tab to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. We're also sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. It's Weathered and Dips.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bay Area, it's Buddy Hill. You're listening to Willib and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah! Is that?
Not really, but we'll see.
Yeah, you got a couple last night, didn't you? You
A
couple?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just suggestions. You didn't do anything with them, did you?
No, just picks. Yeah. I mean, you make your pick, and I'm in a little bit of a dark period for betting.
Oh.
Other than animals riding animals. That's where my focus is right now.
Okay.
It's derby season.
I know that's where your focus is. I didn't know that you considered this a dark period.
I'm just not I'm not gambling right now. I mean, I don't have any open accounts and I have no real action. Nor will I tonight, even though I do think that the Rockets will win tonight. So if I was a betting individual and not a Warrior fan, if I was to make a pick, Kukush, I would bet the Rockets. The 3.5 feels like it's a lot.
I'm seeing it at 4.
Yeah.
Where I dabble.
Yeah.
4.
4.
That's a big number.
It is. But
yeah, it scares me a little bit because
maybe that's what the pod's news. Yeah, it goes from 3.5 to 4.
I don't know. And by the way, if you just joined us, the pod's news is not anything firm yet, but he has been downgraded to questionable because of an illness. We do not have anything firm on whether he is or he is not going to play. All right. We're going to go to the phones. A lot of you want to jump in. Warriors Live is less than an hour away. But I just want to sort of like explain what I was saying a moment ago for those who were not with us off the top of the show. We did an exercise, and it was based on the premise that the Warriors now are Jimmy Butler's Warriors, not meaning they're not Steph Curry's, but understand, like, this team now has Jimmy Butler. That's a very different team than the team that played for much of the year. So if you buy the premise that this version of the Warriors is the one that has Jimmy Butler, well, then give me the standings in the Western Conference just since then. So from the moment Jimmy Butler put on a uniform and played against the Chicago Bulls for the Warriors, what are the Western Conference standings then? And maybe this is a better way to sort of take a snapshot of the confidence that I have for the Warriors in this series. If you do that, if you just look at these teams since the first week of February, the Warriors are the 2 seed in the West. The 2 seed.
Yeah.
So this is not a 7 seed. And now they've got a 1-0 lead on the road. So my expectation is that they will win this series, and it started out that way because I view them as such. I view them as a 2 seed. The standings, if you just do it since Jimmy Butler, Memphis the 8, Denver the 7, the Lakers are the 6, the Rockets are the 5, Minnesota's the 4, Clippers the 3, Warriors the 2, Oklahoma City is the 1. And I think that is not a perfect, but a better view of what I expect in the Western Conference as this unfolds.
Well, 2 things about that. It is indicative of how teams have been playing over the last 2 months, and yep. It also is indicative of, you know, what this team is, the new Golden State Warriors. And you play all 82 for a reason, because they all count in equal increments. They're all worth 1/82nd of your overall record. But when you get into April, I do think that form is a big part of what's going on. How have you been doing lately, Janet Jackson? What have you done for me lately? And the Warriors, since the deadline, 30 games, not a small sample. That's about, you know, 35-40% of the year. It's a big solid chunk. And in that chunk, they're second best in the West. And also how they've done since, you know, March and since April, which is why I look at the Clippers in that series and think, boy, that's a team I don't want to face. And I'm glad they're on the other side of the bracket, because you said that they're the three seed.
They would be the three seed.
Right. And they even.
And I think that. I think the Warriors, Thunder, and Clippers, if you ask me right now, those are the three best teams in the West.
Yeah. And if you look at the way the Clippers ended their year, they won 8 in a row. They won 9 of 10. And included in that was a good, solid victory over the Warriors. And I say good, solid because the Warriors played great. And so did the Clippers. And the Clippers won the basketball game.
Yep. Exactly. Absolutely right. So. Yeah, kind of an interesting run at it. There's also this on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. I just want to address this because someone kind of hears what you said about tonight's game. 925, the Rockets will not win tonight. We're supposed to be promoting the Warriors to win. Come on, man.
Right.
We don't work for the Warriors.
And my job here at 95.7 The Game is to inform, entertain, and offer opinion.
Be you.
I'm not.
If you think the Rockets are going to win, then say you think the Rockets are going to win.
I look at this series from an emotional standpoint, which is go Warriors. And I have a thing with my 2.5-year-old where she likes the color red more than she likes the color blue.
Uh-oh.
So we've been going back and forth. And this morning at breakfast, she said, "Daddy, you like blue." And I said, "You like red." And she said, "I like pink." And I said, "Well, we're fine."
Okay, then we're good.
They're not wearing their. They're City Connects, you know? Go be a Miami Heat fan, because they will wear pink.
I didn't know she was so into politics at this age. Right. My goodness.
Yeah, she thinks pink. She's all about pink and October Breast Cancer Awareness Month and all the rest of it. But I want the Warriors to win. I clearly see that they could win. I look at a series, any real series, and I just mentioned to you during the break, there have been so many series, over 850 in the history of the association, and only 11% of them have been sweeps, historically.
Oh, it's very rare, yeah.
Right.
And
it's 1 in 10.
It's also just too early to use the word. Yeah, I don't like the word sweep after one win.
Agreed.
I'm very confident in them winning the series.
I am too.
Sweep, that's not even, it's maybe a conversation if the Warriors win tonight. Only because they're coming home.
Exactly.
I wouldn't even talk about it after two games if those two games were at home. But because they're on the road, okay, I think it enters into the room if the Warriors win tonight.
Absolutely. And only four teams have ever lost two at home and gone on to win the series in the history of the association. So that's even more rare. But Vegas tells you that they think the odds makers who make or break millions of dollars on this stuff, they think that it's a 6-game series. And they still think that after game one. So if it's going to be a 6-game series,
interesting,
that means the Rockets are going to win two games. And if the Rockets are going to win two games, this game to me is the most likely game they win.
I'll buy that. I just may not buy that they're going to win two games. 888-957-9570. Let's talk to you. Let's go out to John in the city. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. What's up?
How you guys doing today, man?
We're good, man.
So I think pressure's on Houston, man. I seen this stat earlier today. What is it? Steph Curry got like 140 playoff games. Jimmy Butler, 130-ish. Draymond Green, 135 or so. And then when you look to the Houston side, you got Shangun, his first playoff appearance. You got Jalen Green, his first. So, you know, pressure's on them. And I feel like we're going to come out there. We're going to do our thing. Warriors know if they win today that it's kind of a wrap. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but the Warriors go up 2-0 and coming back home, I mean, it's trouble for Houston.
John, there's no doubt that the pressure is on the Rockets tonight. Thank you, John. And that can manifest itself in a number of ways. They're young. A lot of them are 22 years old, but they are home. And desperation sometimes can bring out your best. Sometimes there's a sphincter issue. I don't know which one we're going to see. And the Rockets are not great shooters to begin with. So if there's any sphincter issue at all, you're going to get a clank fest, potentially. But it can go the other way. They can be also be inspired by the moment in the crowd and the desperation. They may come out and play a great basketball game tonight and get this thing. There's no doubt where the pressure is. It's the same place it was on Sunday, even worse. It's absolutely all on the Rockets.
I think the pressure is much, much greater tonight on Houston. I don't think that the Warriors were feeling any pressure in game one. Houston probably a little bit just because they're at home. But in general, as the road team, and they are the seventh seed, as much as you painted a picture that the Warriors are the two of late, they're still the seven. And so Houston has got to feel some sort of confidence about who they were in the regular season. And they won 52 and they're home and they were a pretty good home team. So they have some confidence, but when it comes to pressure, yeah, they're feeling it because, as I mentioned, it's very rare for a team to go down 2-0, losing both at home and still go out and win the series.
Let's go to Tyler in Pleasant Hill. Hi, Tyler. What's up?
Hey, fellas. You ready for some basketball tonight?
You're damn right.
Oh, we all are, man. Hey, you guys were talking about pods maybe being out, and it had me thinking about something my brother and I were talking about the other day with regard to Kuminga. And I was thinking about it, and he fits right in with the roster of players that the Rockets have out there, actually. And it's a parallel that I thought of with Jalen Green. All the talent in the world, but for some reason or another, the basketball IQ is just not there to be a consistent performer in high-leverage situations. And just thinking about Kuminga, I really feel like that's what it comes down to, is you're talking about a guy who in his career has only 4 30-point games, and two of them came this year when Steph was out. I mean, he's not this, you know, he's not a world beater, not yet. And I don't mean to say I don't think he can be a good player, but I really, really question the people that are thinking that he is the answer to topping this hill this year. He's not a $30 million player right now. And if he does get that in the offseason, it's going to be speculative. And I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, Tyler, thanks. I mean, we've largely kind of put that conversation off until the offseason because it's not relevant in where people's minds are right now. And I think we have to see what these next handful of weeks hold for him. But if you're putting the marker at $30 million, yeah, I'll agree with you. I don't think that the market is going to suggest that right now. But if somebody else wants to offer that, it puts the Warriors in an interesting spot because I don't think the Warriors are interested in giving up who they feel is an interesting asset and getting nothing in return. So what do you do if somebody puts that kind of a number in front of them? I would imagine you would probably try to turn it into a sign-in trade. There's also not a lot of teams who have the space to do that this offseason. Everybody points to Brooklyn because they do, and I bet the Warriors would be very interested if Brooklyn would like to do a sign-and-trade with Cam Johnson. Don't let that name go away yet now.
No.
But these conversations are completely for a later date, and I don't think that him playing or not playing in the playoffs actually has anything to do with his worth or his skill set. Or I mean, a little bit the skill set, but it has much more to do with just Warrior basketball. The name can be Kuminga or anyone else's for that matter. I don't know why anybody would suggest the Warriors do anything different right now. They again, when they play, they win at a very, very high clip ever since Jimmy Butler arrived. So do that. Do that. It's the best stretch of Warrior basketball in 3 years. Keep doing it.
Right, and they will continue doing it, and I would disagree with your idea about his value because I think his value has gone down, and it does go down if he doesn't play. And another team could look at him and say, well, we still think that he has the ha-ha, as Guru calls it, the ability to get one-on-one and get to the basket, and you could still love that, but you look at a team that is in the championship window, and they've decided that he's not among their 9 or even 10 best players. That can't help but hurt his value, in my opinion. And,
oh, no, I agree. I agree with you. The value is down. I don't know what someone's going to offer him, but I'd be surprised if anyone wants to pay him $30 million a year.
I don't think that 30 is out there anymore. I think that it's more like something around 20. And, again, this is an off-season conversation. And the fact that Steve Kerr has not chosen to play him only hurts his value so much because he still is 22 with a really good skill set in a bright future in the right system, and I just don't think that this is the system.
888-957-9570, the number. Let's go to, you're going to have to help me with that pronunciation, Lucas. That pronunciation doesn't even make sense. Asa, thank you. Well, you could just write ASA. That's like not an unpopular name. Asa. Yeah.
It should be A/SUH. That would be ASA if you wanted to phoneticize it.
You could do that. But
what's Lucas, on the board? I can't see it.
It says like the word ace and then UH, which made me like as if.
Make him say, Na 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 na.
Thank you, Master.
You're welcome.
Anyway, let's go to Asa.
Asa.
In Alameda. Hi, Asa. What are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm just driving to Berkeley.
Sweet, man.
These are my three keys for the Warriors winning the game tonight.
Okay.
Boards, attacking the basket, and not getting beat in transition.
Boards, attacking the basket, and not getting beat in transition. All right, do you want to add any more sort of supporting facts to that?
Yeah. Steph Curry is, like, always going to be a good shooter. Like, there's no denying that. He's going to have a good shooter tonight. You can't really deny that. He's a good shooter. He's the best shooter in the world.
Right.
But I think that, like, if the Rockets are going to be, like, trying to, like, focus on, like, taking, like, trying to, like, double team or even triple team Curry, and I think he needs to attack the basket with Jimmy and set some, like, down screens and roll and not let the Rockets get easy rebounds and, like, try to get putbacks.
I dig it, Asa. Hey, when you say you're driving to Berkeley, I assume you mean someone's driving you to Berkeley, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you, Asa?
Probably 13.
I'm 12.
12. All right.
You got a birthday coming up, though, don't you, Asa? Probably in late June, I would guess.
Yeah.
Really?
Late June, right?
Late June?
Yeah. What?
How the hell did you do that?
It's what I do. Asa, thank you for calling.
What day in June, Asa?
Thank you.
What day in June is your birthday? What is it?
June 11th.
That's not late June. All right. Anyway, thank you, Asa. Yeah, that's gonna hit the buzzer.
I'm 5 days away from genius.
I'd be fine if it was. It's like if early or mid. It could be either late June. This is incorrect.
Feel good about
you were incorrect.
I mean, this is why I love this show.
Although, to be fair,
early
June is closer to Asa being 13.
Yeah, I mean,
your initial call.
I should have gone with mid-June. You got a birthday coming up. If you'd stopped there, you were right.
How old are you, Asa? I say 13. He says 12. And I immediately know that he's almost 13. How do I know that? It's what I do.
Well,
you can tell that the voice is, he was about an octave away from, guys, I got three keys for you.
Yeah.
Three keys.
Going to Berkeley to get some of my stuff.
Seriously.
Yeah, I just.
And baby mama's been holding me down.
Yeah, I mean, I had to laugh at first because when you were like, you got a birthday coming up, don't you? I'm like, well, everybody's got it. You have a birthday coming up.
Right.
How long? I mean, yes, he's. If he's 12, it's automatic that he will be 13 at some point over the next...
Maybe he had a half birthday coming up.
Yeah.
There's only two people on Earth who celebrate that.
Me and my brother.
Asa and Dibs.
Well, I just knew that he was almost 13, that's all. You can buzz me all you want. That was a bit of Dibber genius
is
what that was.
You were way off. Not late June.
Oh, my God. June 11th. My bad, Asa.
That's why I had to circle back and... throw the Hail Mary of what day in June?
Yeah.
Asa, yeah. June 11th.
Well,
I bet he gets to celebrate his birthday and graduation on certain years.
Eventually, yeah.
Whenever. I mean, age 12, he's probably a sixth grader. So,
I mean, he might have skipped or he might have been held back. I didn't go there. I just knew that he was almost 13. That's all. It's what I do. That's how I do it.
Well.
buzz me 5 days off. That was genius, is what it was.
You were practically asking for the buzzer at that point. You said, are you going to buzz me?
Well, yeah. Just you're I know so how smart, you guys do it.
If you're so smart, you'll know if he skipped a grade or not. So?
He didn't skip. Exactly. He could have, but his parents held him back. Which is what happened to me, second grade. Teacher's like, this kid is so smart, he could skip third grade. My parents said, have you seen how small he is?
Yeah, they're like,
he's a fat red pumpkin.
Got a little bit of an attitude problem,
dude,
too.
No doubt.
We don't need an acceleration sensation.
No.
I'm a fat red pumpkin.
They were right to hold me down. Cha-ching! Although I academically shut it down at that point.
Same thing about this show.
Yep, you were right to hold me down.
Yeah.
Great.
That's what we do.
Thanks. Anyway, how do you feel about his three keys?
I really, really buy into one of them.
Which is?
The one about, like, don't turn the ball over or transition defense. Yes. Attack the basket? Sure. In a general sense, that's always a good thing to do on a basketball court. And what was the third one? The third one was...
Rebounding.
Okay. That's the interesting one. Look, they're going to lose the rebounding battle. So you just have to sort of like brace yourself for that. You have to get ready for that. You have to be okay with that. If they only lose it by a little bit, or if their defense is able to remain strong and not allow those rebounds to add up to constant second chance points, then I think they'll be fine. So, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with any of them. They're all fair basketball points.
Yep, and they don't have to lose the rebounding battle.
They will.
Well, they haven't always. I'm looking at game two, no Curry, no Draymond. Warriors win. Warriors were a +9 on the glass that night. That's the night that Kuminga had his 33.
Right.
Wiggins with 23 and 9.
How many games into the year was that?
That was December 5th.
Okay.
So that was... the Warriors got to 13-8. Houston was 15-8 that night.
So early, no stars in the game. I don't even know what Houston's young players had really developed into yet, all of them. You know what I mean? I know what Şengün was doing and a little bit about Jalen Green, but where were we with Amen Thompson? Where were we with Jabari? All of these guys. Like, I don't know exactly where that all stood at that point. I just think these were different teams at that point. And again, so were the Warriors. Were the Warriors.
In the Jimmy Butler game in February, the Rockets had a +10 rebound differential. Warriors won the game. And the other night, we mentioned a +16 Houston. Warriors won the game. So
I'm expecting the Warriors to lose that battle tonight.
Right.
I'm expecting
that. Key is to avoid 22 offensive rebounds. And Monty Poole with a great point about 22 rebounds turning into 22 points, which is really bad. And the Warriors had... 6 offensive rebounds that turned into 12 points. So that right there is a huge differential in what you got out of your offensive rebound.
No doubt. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Warriors live in a half hour. So if you'd like to get on in, are Warrior fans feeling too confident? And do you buy my premise that the Warriors are pretty much actually the 2 seed in the Western Conference or something along those lines, which is why I've been so, so confident about them in this series. We'd love to hear from you. We'll take your phone calls as we have been right now, but Warriors live at 5:30. So this is your chance if you want to get in. 888-957-9570. Your calls next on Willard and Dibs.